Hi everyone, welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all stories happening in Riverside, California. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. Okay, if you can introduce yourself and where you work.
Hi, my name is James McCarrick. I'm the counselor at Valverde High School.
Hi, I'm Mark Lenore. I'm the assistant superintendent in Valverde Unified.
I'm Robin Ellison. I'm a school counselor at Rancho Verde High School in the Valverde Unified School District.
Robin, can you tell us how long you've been a school counselor?
I've been very fortunate. This is my 11th year of being a school counselor.
And Mark, what was your role before you became an assistant superintendent?
Well, I was a high school administrator for 17 years, but prior to coming to Valverde, I worked at the Riverside County Office of Ed, and I was a principal in residence there.
How about you, James? How long have you been a school counselor?
I've been the guidance counselor at Valverde High for about 6 or 7 years, but before that, I worked at the Youth Service Center and at the county level, working for various grants, doing anger and drug counseling.
I used to work with James and Robin a very long time ago at the Youth Service Center. We were outreach counselors together. So for Robin, this is a financial aid month. As you can tell, the financial aid app's open. Can you talk about some of the activities and workshops you do at your site?
Sure, it'd be my pleasure. We started off setting the tone in September with a meeting in the theater with our seniors where we went over what they needed to do and our expectations and incentives with them. We followed up with classroom visits where we helped them launch through CCGI so they can launch their FAFSA. We helped them with FSAID, and now we're currently doing office hours with them and making individual appointments with parents. I completed my first one with a parent yesterday, so we're just setting the tone and giving them any help and support that they need along the way.
That's awesome. Your school is just a state champ for the financial aid in this whole state of California for the highest completion rate. I believe you were at 97% completion, is that correct? How does it feel to be a state champ?
It feels amazing, but not just for the staff. It feels amazing in the sense that we're helping our students be able to go to college, because we all know that one of the biggest barriers to students being able to go to college is financial reasons. So the fact that we can celebrate that we have that completion rate translates to more of our students will be able to go to college and further their job and their possibilities in the future. So we're very proud of that fact.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I saw you got a state banner, said Race to Submit Champs, so congratulations. Do you have anything that you can say this has helped students to motivate them to go on for more education or training?
Absolutely, because it's very powerful when students see the banner and things like that, because they see students that look like them and that come from similar backgrounds, and they say, if they can do it, if they can do FAFSA, and they can go to college, we can do it too. So it sets that tone, and we're very proud of that fact.
And Mark, I think you are the first district in California to get it as a graduation requirement. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We got the idea from the state of Louisiana. And the state of Louisiana had been working on making it a statewide requirement for a couple years prior to enacting it this past school year. And one day we were in cabinet and my superintendent said, I think the state of Louisiana is actually making it a graduation requirement. So I immediately called them and reached out to them and asked them what they did, how they did this, and any advice that they would have for us. And within a month and a half, we had passed the same requirement in Valverde.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hope more districts jump on that bandwagon and they do that as a graduation requirement. Can you talk about the opt-out form? Because I know some students are in conditions where they can't file the FAFSA or the California Dream Act. Can you talk about that form that you have in your district?
Yeah, I virtually identically used the same language that Louisiana did in their opt-out form. They gave me, or Valverde, the idea of the opt-out process, which I think is a great way to make this work. This last year, when we enacted it, it was probably one of the most politically charged times, one of the most challenging times for undocumented families. And you also had rising concerns of identity theft and maybe this perception that the military is, you don't need to fill out the FAFSA, it doesn't encourage that. So we knew going into this that there would be situations that we would encounter where some parents didn't feel that their student needed to. Our district is about 86% free and reduced lunch applications. And so making it a requirement just made sense to us. It made sense for our district because, as Robin said, there's a lot of money left on the table, and it's the number one barrier that gets in the way of our kids for going to furthering their education. A few years ago, when I interviewed Greg Garnier, who is the U.S. Department of Ed of College and Career Readiness, he's the director of that department, he told me in California alone there was $500 million left on the table. And I thought to myself, at that time I was at the county office, but we should do everything we can if we want to improve our communities and make this a priority for all school districts. When I got to Valverde, working with the team there, the main thing we said was we want to remain sensitive to every family's concerns. Get as many people behind this as possible, because with every expectation, you have to put in additional layers of support. So we didn't just want to put this on our counselors. We wanted to all take responsibility of what we can do to make this a reality and make this happen. And I'm proud to say, recently we had over 1,500 graduates. I believe it was somewhere around the lines of 1,565. Of those seniors, only 11 opted out this past year.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Do you happen to have any data from the National Student Tracker on where the students ended up from this year or previous year regarding financial aid and how that helped them?
Well, Student Tracker usually gives us our first initial reports in November, mid-November. So the data I have is from the class of 2017, but we have roughly 61% of our graduates that are going on in furthering their education after high school. We're not happy with that. We believe we could do better, but it has been growing consistently. One of the things I would say, though, is that we have to be careful that we don't just stop supporting our kids once they graduate, but that we continue to look and see what happens and check in with them. Because what I believe a lot of people are overlooking or not thinking about right now is just because you push the FAFSA and you have more kids completing their FAFSA or submitting their FAFSA, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're always enrolling or accepting their award. And so I'm really looking into this data right now to see how many of our kids were offered an award, and of those, how many have actually accepted the award. Because if they accepted the award, that means they enrolled. And so I think this is a phenomenon that no one is actually talking about right now, but it's happening across the country, and that we need to be doing a better job of following through. We do a lot of work. We hold their hands to get them to where they're at by the time they leave us. It just makes sense that as a district, we're looking at our LCAP and funding time so that we have support personnel or counselors checking in with these students so they don't become another statistic with the summer melt.
Yeah, and that seems to be the big issue is the summer melt, following up with students, making sure they actually get to the college or career technical education. Now, James, you work at an alternative ed site at a continuation school. How do you think that the FAFSA graduation requirement has helped your students? Because I know sometimes the continuation schools, it doesn't seem like it's really promoted at some sites, but you did a great job. Can you talk about that and how it helped you at your site?
Definitely. With that being a graduation requirement, I think the big thing is it made our students realize that money should not be a barrier for a higher education, that our students can also go to college and go for higher education. Now, they might not go straight to a four-year, but our promotion is going to the local community college and using that financial aid to get them started. And from there, if they choose a transfer, they can go from the community college to a four-year site or get a CTE certification at the community college. So I think with that being part of our graduation requirement, I think that's just going to help our school culture as being the new norm, that part of getting your diploma is getting my FAFSA ready so I have a plan for after I graduate from high school.
Can you talk about some of the activities and events that you do to promote FAFSA your site?
You know, our big push really started last year, and I just have to say that it takes more than one person. It really takes a village, and it starts from the top. I know when Mark was talking to us about FAFSA as a graduation requirement, the first thing we wanted to make sure is we got board approval. Once board approved it, it was a green light for all of us to start promoting it. So at our site level, with Mark's blessing, we were able to get our principals to be the front and to promote it to the whole school. Now at our site, we wear many hats, so I could not do it myself. We have about a graduation group of about 200, and it took me talking to my economics teacher, who was gung-ho about making sure they got the information. And at our school site, they call him Mr. FAFSA, Mr. Vlastos. So he was our big push in the senior classes. In addition to that, our ASB coordinator, Ms. Kubota, is key in making sure our students and our student body was promoted. So she made sure that all our teachers were aware of it, that the students knew about it. We did our phone banking. We made sure we were under our weekly news. We're fortunate that our school site, that we have a weekly video newscast. So we wanted to promote it that way. We also did dialers at home. And we wanted to make sure that we had multiple workshops with our parents so that they could be part of the conversation. Because it's not just a student, it's a family affair. And when the student and the parent knows what's going on, I think they feel a little better of what the FAFSA is about and what it's for.
Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work, right? Mark, you were just at the Race to Submit Awards. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we got to travel to the state capitol last week. I've been to Sacramento a few times, but that was my first time at the capitol. And it was, to be honest with you, I had butterflies in my stomach. I wasn't doing any presentation, but the mere fact of being there, the nervousness kind of came out. And I don't know why, but it just did. But it was really great to see everyone there, all the schools that were being recognized, all the schools that made it an emphasis. The speakers that they had there were great. They just reinforced what we're trying to do, but they said it so eloquently. And being the first time that this ever happened at the state level, and to be able to be a part of it, it just felt great. But I think the thing I got most out of it was just seeing the counselors there that took the lead on it, getting recognition that they deserved. It was a proud moment, you know, and this is an initiative that first started 4 years ago. And Catalina and I were at the county office, and we created the whole Race to Submit. And to see it come to fruition like this, huge credit to Catalina Cifuentes and all the work that she continues to do at the county office there.
Yeah, it's awesome that it's gone statewide. And do you have any advice for other districts that want to implement this as a graduation requirement? And maybe they're running into some barriers. Anything you can give advice to them?
What I would say is don't recreate the wheel. We've already created a policy. They wouldn't have to build it from scratch. We have all the forms. We have everything ready. If they were interested in doing it, I would say that they front load their boards of education prior to a board meeting with their weekly updates that they do, that they introduce the idea maybe over a month prior to the board taking action, just in case they have any questions. This is a big step for some districts, and a lot of districts talk about doing it, but sometimes don't follow through because they're worried about how is this going to go over. And it's been a win. We haven't really gotten any criticism except in the beginning from some people on the Press Enterprise blog. But outside of that, that was it, nothing. And all it's been is positive. But I think James and Robin hit on it earlier. It's got to be a system, and you got to think of it as a system. Don't just create the policy. Think about your systems before you create the policy. How are you going to make it so all layers of the organization are working to create and accomplish the same thing? And when you have that, you're involving your community. We had TODEC, which helped with our undocumented families in helping build their trust to make sure that they filled out the California Dream Act. We had our Family Engagement Center doing multiple financial aid nights. We were doing phone banking, an idea we got from Paris Union High School District, where we had our administrative team make 750 calls one night in 2 hours just to kind of help our counselors out. One thing we had, as James said, our teachers got involved, our government and econ teachers got involved, our ASBs. It was a system-wide effort. And it's a huge credit to everyone in the organization because no one individual did it by themselves. And I just appreciate the fact that everyone bought into the idea and the vision of it, and it allowed us to get where we're at right now.
I'm talking about school counselors. We have huge caseloads, so a system-wide approach helps, but school counselors play a huge role in helping students go on for more education or training. How do you think we as school counselors can help advocate to get more school counselors in our schools?
I think the whole push to continue to educate people. 4 or 5 years ago, we created the counselor network. Prior to that, there was minimal quality professional development for counselors at that point. There's a much better idea of what counselors do today than there ever has been. I believe the relationship between administrators and counselors has vastly improved from where it was. But I think if we are wanting to continue to advocate for counselors, we need to continue to educate all administrators on the importance of counselors and how they can support them. I don't think approaching administrators with the first fact of my caseload size is going to help anyone. They have to see what they can do to bring their administrators along with them to events like the Counselor Leadership Network so that they're getting opportunities to see all of the things and all the layers. I was a high school administrator 17 years, and I still myself didn't understand what all of what the counselors did at that point. It took me to go to the county office and to dive into the research to really get a full understanding. And I believe education is the piece. If we're going to continue to do our best to advocate for counselors, we need to continue to educate the people who are making the decisions on the importance of them.
Yeah, and I love that the county does the big counselor leadership conference. They do it twice a year, so that helps to educate the administrators and even the clerical staff on what school counselors do. We just had a huge conference this past month. It was about 800 educators there, administrators, clerical staff, teachers. It was a great conference, so if you guys want to go check it out, the next one is in January. It'll be on the RCEC website. For James, do you have any advice for school counselors that work at an alternative education school?
I think the biggest key in alt ed is to be able to collaborate. In alt ed, you gotta, one, be motivated yourself. You want to make sure that you as a person is willing to promote it and have your students realize that they can make it and they can do bigger things than just high school diploma. But in addition to that, just being able to spread the message to your staff and the community helpers that you may have at your site. Sometimes at alt ed you feel like you're on an island, and so to have more allies with you that can help you promote it, help you do the workshops with them, or even do the FAFSA with the student themselves, all those extra members in your community help tremendously just to have more numbers showing that it is an important thing to do, not just for the counselor, but for the student, for the parent, and their local community.
Robin, can you tell us what you love most about your job, and do you have any advice for new school counselors out there?
That's easy. What I love most about my job is definitely the student interaction. They are definitely the heart of my caseload, the heart of everything I do, and why we all work so hard is to support our students and our parents and our community. So I take great pride in that. And then what was the second part?
Do you have any advice for new school counselors that are just starting off in their job this year?
I would say focus on the students, and other things will come and go, but if you focus on your students and trying to continue to learn, take professional development very seriously. I also say model, we were just talking about College Week before we got started. I think it's important to participate to kind of show that we're involved and we can't expect and ask students to get involved if we don't set the tone ourselves. So I always try to say get involved, chaperone college trips, wear the college shirt, just create that atmosphere, have an open door policy, let the students know that they're the reasons why we do what they do, and then even if we're busy in the middle stuff when they come in, let them know that they're welcome and that we're there for them and their families and we want to serve our community.
Okay, one more thing I have to mention is that this graduation requirement would not have became a reality unless we had a courageous Board of Education who took the time to become enlightened with all of the facets and the importance of why FAFSA is important for all students and in the California Dream Act. If it wasn't for them, we would not have had the ability to make this a graduation requirement. They were the ones who really made the decision of going forward with this.
You guys are doing amazing things in your school district. So if you could tell us at least one thing that made you happy today or this past week. Start with you, James.
Sure. I think one thing I'm proud about is we are in a quarter system at my high school, and we are graduating our first set of graduates on Friday. So our first quarter graduates will have 18. All of our students who are graduating on Friday have filled out their FAFSA and have applied to our local community college, which is Moreno Valley College. So our first set of students are either ready to go into January term or for the summer term for Summer Bridge, and I'm pretty excited about that.
That's awesome. How about you, Mark?
Well, I just want to piggyback on what James just said. I think the thing that I'm most proud about is I see our schools taking more decisive, more surgical action on doing these things, but doing these things earlier. And I think that's huge. Not just filling out the FAFSA, not just completing the FAFSA, but getting it done and getting it done early so that the students can make a more informed choice about the right college fit in the first place.
Yeah, how about you, Robin?
Today, the highlight of my day, I was able to attend an Ivy League roundtable with five of the Ivy League schools today and to be able to bring that information and share with my students and see one of them have this aha moment about information that they didn't know. And just being able to get information and continue to share that with my students for their benefit is a great honor.
My highlight was probably this past weekend. My family was in town and my niece is at NMSU in New Mexico. So I helped her do the FAFSA on her app, you know, the FAFSA app they have now. It's pretty cool. So she was like my guinea pig. So now with College Week coming up, we can do that on the app or the internet now. So thank you guys so much for being part of our podcast. If you could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Bye, and thanks for having us.
Thank you. Good luck with the FAFSA.
Thank you for having us here, and goodbye, Roy. Good luck on your school year.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed that. Application season has kept me pretty busy, so I haven't been able to be on the podcast, but I wanted to let you know about our next podcast, episode 8. We will be interviewing Eric Sanchez, a school counselor at Vista del Lago and one of the football coaches at San Bernardino Valley College. He's an NCAA expert and graduated from La Sierra High School in Riverside. So we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.